that God is real, for I can see Him in my soul.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Foundational Truths for Life podcast. My name is Matthew Curtis. I'm excited to be with you today. I invite you to join me as we go on an adventure, on a journey through Scripture, as we discover and uncover foundations of biblical truth. We're going to put one hand on the love of God, we're going to put one hand on the faith of God, and we're going to discover together how to apply practically God's Word to our lives today in Christ. I'm overjoyed to be able to minister to you today. God has given me some amazing things. And when you mix faith with the prayer that we're about to pray, God will work in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. He'll renew your mind. He'll cause you to see things from His perspective, which is how we want to see them, because our understanding is so limited. But when the Holy Spirit touches your understanding, you'll understand beyond your ability. You'll see things and know things supernaturally as revelation is poured into your life. Are you ready to pray? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we submit this episode to you. I acknowledge I have no ability of my own self. Jesus, you're the vine and I am a branch. Apart from you, I can do nothing. But you didn't leave me as nothing. You called me, you equipped me, you anointed me, and you sent me to minister to these precious people. And so we ask you together today for the Spirit of God to come on me as I speak your word. We ask you for utterance. We ask you for boldness and open door of it that I may declare the mysteries of your gospel. Help me to speak as the oracles of God and make my tongue as the pen of a ready writer today. We ask you for ears that hear, everyone under the sound of my voice. Give them ears that hear. Give them eyes that see. Open and touch their hearts, Father. Cause it to open before you like a flower that blooms in the springtime. In Jesus' name, we believe we receive. Amen. All right, are you ready to get further into the Word? We've been talking about the four successive phases that Peter passed through in order to lay his foundation in Christ. So many people don't even realize that it's up to them to lay their foundation in Christ. But what we must understand is that if you're going to build a structure of any size, if it's going to be a load-bearing structure, if it's going to be as tall as a skyscraper, if it's going to be the house that you live in, you don't just build the roof first. You don't just build the walls. You don't just put in the plumbing when there's no foundation. Everything that you build above the foundation is connected to the foundation. And the foundation is what sets the limits for what you can build above it. Regarding a skyscraper, if you want to build high, you're going to have to build deep. And this is the thing that Christians, and that's me, that's you, we need to understand. If we want to go all the way with God, we can't be satisfied with a rinky-dink foundation. We need to be able to understand that it takes time to properly lay the foundation of Christ. And if we want to build up and build strong and build high, we need to first lay deep and lay low the foundation of Christ. And that sounds a whole lot like humility to me. Whenever you go deep and you go down and you take the time to do all of that, you're keeping in mind that you're going to build up one day. But you're going through what is necessary in order to build the foundation of Jesus deep into your spirit, man. And when you build deep, when the winds blow, when the waves, so to speak, beat against your structure, I'm referring back to Scripture where the man built his house on the rock or sand. When he built it on the rock, the Bible said that the winds came, the flood beat against the house, and even if the earth shakes like an earthquake, because your structure is founded on the rock, that's the foundation of Jesus, the bedrock, your structure will not fall. It'll stand the weather. It'll stand the tests. It'll stand the test of time. It will be something that will last forever, because what God does is forever. So are you interested in building your foundation in Christ? Well, you should be, because you're listening to the Foundational Truths for Life podcast. Oh, it's such an exciting thing when you find that you have the ability and you have the authority and the capability to lay the foundation of Christ. Now, one thing that we need to get straight is that when it comes to laying the foundation, you can't just follow your own plans. You've got to follow God's plans. Turn with me in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 3. We're going to begin reading. The Spirit of God is ministering this through Paul, and he's using the building metaphor to teach us something. Beginning in verse 9, this is the King James Version. "For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building." There's the metaphor. Well, what about the building do we need to understand? "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So who's the foundation of this structure? It's the Lord Jesus. And we are the building of God collectively and individually. Together as the body of Christ, the church of the living God, we are God's temple. If you continue reading down a few verses in chapter 3, it even says it, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But individually, you are still a building. You are still a structure because you are a part of the temple of the living God. You are a piece of the temple of the living God. And God has a collective plan for the body of Christ, and he's got an individual plan for every member of the body of Christ. And it's important that we find and fulfill that. But when you build the foundation and you build the structure of your life up in Christ, you can't just follow your own plan. You've got to follow the architect's plans. Otherwise, you're going to get off and build something wrong. You're going to build something that won't be able to handle the pressure, handle the load. You'll build something that will fall. And so one of the important things that we have to remember as Christians is that when we begin to lay the foundation of Christ in our life, we cannot just lay whatever kind of foundation that we think. We cannot just lay according to our own plans. We need to lay it according to the architect's plans. But whenever you read in this verse, Paul actually gives us this word in the Greek, architect. I want you to go back to verse 10 and look at this. "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder." In the King James, the word behind that word, master builder, is actually architecton. And that's where we get our word, architect. And so if the Father is the architect, who is the builder in charge of the body of Christ? Well, that's the Lord Jesus. And he gives the plans to the body collectively, and he gives the plans to the body individually. That's why when it comes to following Jesus, he is everything. You follow him as your shepherd. You follow him as your leader and guide. You follow him wherever he goes. You follow him through thick and thin. You follow him into blessing, into goodness, into healing, into prosperity, success in your life. You follow him through valleys, through mountains. You follow him into green pastures. You follow him beside still waters. Are you getting the picture? You follow him wherever he goes. But now notice this. In Psalm 23, I want you to turn there if you have your Bibles. In Psalm 23, the Bible gives us a clear picture of the Lord Jesus as he leads us. And I'm just going to read a few verses down. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures." Well, did you just get to the green pastures yourself, or did you follow the shepherd as he led you? That's how you got there. "He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." He leads you in right paths. He doesn't lead you down evil paths. He doesn't lead you down destructive paths. He doesn't lead you down paths that give you confusion, that give you anxiousness and turmoil in your life, and problem after problem. He doesn't lead you down paths of judgment. No, Jesus took your judgment. He took what you were before you gave your heart to the Lord. He took your sin. He bore your sicknesses. He bore your poverty. He bore every evil thing that the curse of this world put on us before Christ. And he took it upon himself and bore it so that you don't have to. And now when you follow him, he's not leading you into the things that he bore for you. He's leading you into things that He gave you. The success in life, the joy and peace that you can enjoy by being a Christian. And so following Jesus is key. Because if you're not following Him, what are you following? Who are you following? If you are your own Lord, you're following your own understanding. And you remember the Bible said to not lean to our own understanding, but to acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways, and He will what? He'll lead us. He'll direct our paths. The Bible is so amazing how connected that it is. Every scripture bears witness with one another. Every scripture bears witness with each scripture. And that's how you find out what is a truth in the Word, is that when the Bible says something, other scriptures bear witness with that scripture. And so throughout this episode, you're going to see how things bear witness. So pay attention to that, because it's just like putting together puzzle pieces to the big picture of the puzzle. And each puzzle piece is exciting because you're looking through all the different pieces. And when you find that one that goes here, it's like a joyous occasion because you just spent like the past 15 minutes putting this puzzle piece together. And this one piece was what you were searching for. So praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit is helping us. I want you to go today to Matthew chapter 16. And in Matthew chapter 16, we were discussing the four successive phases that Peter passed through in order to build his foundation in Christ. And everybody, whether you're young or old, everybody who receives the Lord Jesus, their experience is parallel to Peter's. It doesn't mean it happens exactly the same way for everybody. Some people get saved on their deathbed. Some people get saved when they're a child in Sunday school. Some people get saved in their teens. Some people get saved in their 30s. Some people know that Jesus is their Savior. Other people know Him as their healer as well. There are many different levels of experience, but you always pass through these four successive phases. The first phase that we talked about in episode 20 is having a confrontation with Jesus. I mean, you can't just hypothetically hear about a Jesus. You've got to have a personal confrontation yourself. And then the Father has to reveal to you that Jesus actually is who He says He is. No man can say it. No man can convince you. It's not enough. You'll just think of Jesus as a good man. You'll think of Jesus as somebody else other than who He should be for you and to you. But when the Father reveals Jesus to you by the Holy Spirit as a result of this confrontation, then you know that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt who He is and who He is to you and for you. But something else, you also begin to discover who you are in Him. Praise the Lord. And that's an exciting thing. So the first two phases, remember, we have a confrontation with Jesus, and then we have a revelation of who Jesus is. The third thing, which we're going to get into today, is you have to acknowledge the Lord Jesus. You have to acknowledge who you are in Him. You have to acknowledge who He is to you. You have to acknowledge what the Holy Spirit reveals to you, because all of these phases is how we go through the building process. It's not something that is imaginary. Like I'm teaching you four successive phases that have nothing to do with the building process. No, when you study the Word out and you have a confrontation with Jesus and the Father reveals Jesus to you and you begin to acknowledge what the Father shows you. And then fourthly, the fourth successive phase, you begin to confess what God shows you, what He gives to you, what He reveals to you by the Holy Spirit. This is the building process, and you're going to see this in Matthew chapter 16. All right, let's begin reading in verse 13. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Others say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But who do you say that I am?" Does it matter what you say about Jesus? Does it really matter who you say Jesus is? Yes, it does. It can be the difference between your salvation and not. If Jesus is unfamiliar to you and he is not somebody that is your Savior or your Lord, then it's possible that you could be lost. But we can change that, because all you have to do, again, is by the preaching and teaching of this word. If you're listening today and you've not made Jesus the Lord of your life, the Holy Spirit is going to confront you today. And he's going to present an option to you by the revelation that's coming from God's word. And he's going to make it known to you that Jesus needs to be your Savior. And you'll have a choice to accept him and to confess him. And oh, when you do, hallelujah, nothing is going to be the same. So it does matter what you say about Jesus. And it mattered what Peter said, as you'll be able to see here in a second. And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Praise the Lord. The building process are these four successive phases. The first two, again, just to keep reminding you of it, to get it in your spirit, you must have a confrontation with Jesus. You must have a revelation of who Jesus is. And then thirdly, you must acknowledge what God has shown you. You must express it. You must display it. Otherwise, how will the world know? How will you know that a change has taken place in your heart? You have to expect that when you confess Jesus as the Lord of your life, when he becomes the cornerstone of your salvation, you have to expect that it is not finished yet. The Bible says that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. Well, that means there's a process until it's perfected. And when we all receive Jesus for the first time in our life, we're born a baby Christian. And it's up to us to live the word, to confess the word, and to be able to grow up in love and grow up in faith so that we can be the mature Christian that God has called us to be. It doesn't happen automatically, is what I'm telling you. The foundation of Christ is not automatically laid in your heart. You are going to have to do something. And the Bible is clear about what you can do. But when you acknowledge the things that God shows you, essentially, you are showing the world, hey, I am a new creation in Christ. You know those old things, that old man, that old way of being me that you used to see? That's gone. I'm a new person now, and I'm following Jesus, and I acknowledge that I'm his and that he is mine. I acknowledge that I believe the written word of God. I acknowledge that there is a right way of living. I acknowledge that the way I used to live, the way I used to talk, the way I used to act, the way I used to walk, the music that I used to listen to, you see what I'm saying? All that's gone. And now I follow Jesus, and I've got a new way of living. Hallelujah. I've got joy divine. Praise the Lord. I'm not the same how I used to be. And that right there is the testimony. You don't have to go door-to-door witnessing, telling people that you are saved and that you are a Christian. If God leads you to do that, well, certainly, do it. But most people, when they think about acknowledging and testifying and showing that I'm saved and showing that I'm a new creation, they think that I have to speak publicly and they have to do all these things that they're uncomfortable with. No, your life will preach. Your testimony of where God brought you from to where he's brought you to, your testimony of everything God delivered you from, if God delivered you from drugs and alcohol, that's a testimony. And you'll be able to minister to other people in certain situations, in the same situations. If God delivered you from a hard life, if God delivered you from fear, whatever God did for you, that's your testimony. But how are people going to know if you don't acknowledge it? If you don't express it and say out loud, this is what God has done for me. This is who he's made me in Christ. If you don't express it, if you don't live it, how will people know there's any difference between you and them? This is where the acknowledgement comes in. But if you're going to do it the Bible way, you must follow him. Are you ready to know about this third phase, following Jesus or acknowledge? All right, me too. Let's go to the book of Matthew, and we're going to go to chapter 4. We'll begin reading in verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother. Now, this is an important piece of information. The disciples aren't just that group of disciples, and we all know some of their names, but we don't know every single name, and yeah, they followed Jesus, they were his disciples, and they were special people. It's more than just that. When the Bible gives a detail that they're brothers, it matters. So Simon and Andrew are brothers. Now, remember, Simon is actually Peter. Simon is Peter before he was Peter. But how did he get his name? Well, remember, in Matthew 16 we read, and also in another place we're going to read here, where Jesus called him Peter before Peter knew who Jesus was. All right? I want you to stick with me. So, in verse 18, these two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers or fishermen. And Jesus said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Here's the confrontation. They're confronted with this choice. Am I going to follow Jesus? And you know, that's the choice all of us have to make. You can confess Jesus as Lord. You can become saved, as it were. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But you can choose not to follow him. You can choose to do what you want to do with your life all the days of your life. I don't recommend it. There's so much to living for God that we don't have time enough to get into today. But I assure you, you want to follow Jesus. So, what happened when Jesus called them and said, follow me? Well, the Bible says in verse 20, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. Now, what would happen if you put yourself in Peter and Andrew's place and you're at work, all right? And here comes the preacher. And you can tell he's a preacher, but you don't know him from anybody necessarily. And the preacher comes to you, or the person comes to you, and they're like, follow me, and I'll make something out of your life. And then they just turn around and walk off. How are you going to respond? How would you have responded? You're at work. You're busy going about your tasks. And here's this man that you barely know or you don't know. And he says these things to you. Are you just going to get up and leave everything straight away? Well, this is the example that Jesus is giving to us as believers, that when it comes to following him, we're supposed to follow the good example that Simon or Peter and Andrew did. They got up immediately. They left their work, they left their stuff, and they followed Jesus. There had to have been something compelling them on the inside, that what they were following was greater than what they were doing. Praise the Lord. That what Jesus was leading them to was greater, was better, was more fulfilling, was more satisfying than what they were doing. And it was more than just taking a break from work. It was more than just leaving for the day. This was a commitment to following Jesus today, tomorrow, and every day. They just maybe didn't know it all. But when they made that commitment to follow Jesus, how many know the end result? These men were pillars in the body of Christ. These men were mightily used of God to advance the kingdom of God. And the Lord gave special things to the body of Christ through their ministry and did special things through their ministry. And they are actually pillars in the kingdom of heaven. They are part of the foundation of the government of the kingdom of heaven. These 12 men, Judas was lost, but these 12 men that became disciples of Jesus are the foundation of the entire church. They laid all of the doctrine, they laid all of the revelation from Jesus up until the time of their death, and everything that is written in the New Testament is because of these great men of God. Praise the Lord. But you didn't know it way back then when you were at work, and here comes this man saying, follow me, and you just have this compelling sensation in your spirit, in your insides. I've got to go. I've got to do it. If I don't, I'm going to miss out. If I don't, I'm not going to see what's on the other side of this. Oh, and I can tell you, following Jesus these past 24 years in ministry, these past 26 years in loving God and in following Him just as a disciple, I can tell you, and my wife can say it too, following Jesus is the best thing that we've ever done with our lives. We wouldn't trade it for anything. As some people say in the South, we wouldn't trade it for the world with the fence around it. Nothing compares to the joy of following Jesus. Woo! Glory to God. I'll follow Him today. I'll follow Him tomorrow. I'll follow Him for the rest of my life because I know where He's leading me, and He's leading me into goodness. He's leading me into abundance. He's leading me into joy and peace and every good thing. Praise the Lord. How many of you out there can say and lift a hand that I've experienced that too? Following Jesus is the best thing that I could have ever done. Hallelujah. I want to take you to another scripture. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8, and we're going to see another experience that somebody had when they were faced with Jesus. They had their own confrontation with Jesus. Two examples here in Matthew chapter 8. We're going to begin reading in verse 18. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. So he and his disciples, they got in the ship and they went to the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow you wherever you go. Now that sounds awesome, right? You have somebody, it seems like they're ready to make a commitment. They're confessing that to you. I'm ready to follow you wherever you go. But how many know if you've lived any length of time, just because somebody says something doesn't mean that they actually follow through with it. And also, it doesn't mean that their heart's in the right place. So just because somebody tells you something, the proof is in the pudding, as they say. If they tell you something sweet, if they tell you something nice, that's wonderful. But when somebody really means it, they back it up with their actions, right? And if you remember reading in 1 John, the Bible actually says that when you love, you don't love in word only. You don't love with just your words, but you love in deed and in truth, in your actions. Your actions support what you say. And if there's no actions that follow or support what you say, then it's highly likely it's not the truth. It's not real. And so this scribe said this, And Jesus said unto him, here's his response, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man does not have anywhere to lay his head. And that's all Jesus said. And it's like, you get the picture that Jesus is like, okay, next, you know? And people don't really understand Jesus that way. Now, look here, there's another example. Verse 21, And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Now, I want you to notice something here. When the scribe came to Jesus, it said a certain scribe came to Jesus. The Bible did not say that he was a disciple of Jesus. But when the second person came, it designated him as a disciple. So what we need to understand is that when it comes to following Jesus, you can't follow him and not be his disciple. It's the disciples that follow their master. You can't follow Jesus from afar and have one foot in and one foot out. Following Jesus, you have to submit yourself as a disciple. And those are the ones where Jesus will respond and he'll say in response, follow me. The Lord doesn't tell people who aren't his disciples to follow me. You know why? Because when you come to the Lord, you're not wanting to follow him. You're wanting what he provides. You're wanting the good things that he does. You're wanting the benefits. You're wanting to be, so to speak, as the world would say, friends with benefits. But that's not how Jesus is. That's not who he is. You don't just get the benefits and not following him as a disciple. It's committing to follow him as a disciple of Christ and following him where he leads you, and you experience the goodness and the blessing of following him. So Jesus' response to his disciple was this in verse 22, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. You see, when it comes to acknowledging this third phase, in these four successive phases that Peter went through, when it comes to acknowledging the Christ, when it comes to acknowledging yourself as a follower of Christ, you don't just acknowledge yourself as somebody that knows about Jesus. You have to have a confrontation and a revelation to where you know Jesus intimately, where you know him personally, not because you're just somebody that knows about, but you know because you follow. You know because you're a disciple. You know because you've submitted yourself to him. You've submitted yourself to his word. You've submitted yourself to his ways. You've submitted yourself to his leadership and guidance. And because you follow him in that way from personal experience, then you can say that you know him. Hallelujah. Do you see why it's important to have this confrontation and revelation of Jesus before you follow him? Because if you just follow him blindly, if you just follow him not really knowing who he is, just doing what other people are doing, what other Christians, you see them pray this way, so you pray that way. You see them say this, so you say that. You see them doing things with their life that are Christian and that are religious, but it has no effect on you, and it doesn't mean anything to you and for you, and you get no fruit, you get no results. Because you've not made yourself a disciple. You've not submitted yourself to him and followed him from a disciple's perspective. And that's the goal, is when you follow him, you don't just follow him just for following's sake, but it's to learn of him. It's to become a disciple like back in the olden days when they would disciple underneath a master of a craft, a master of a trade. Well, Jesus is the master of masters. And when you submit yourself as a disciple, that's when you're truly following the Lord, because you can't submit yourself to him and not obey him and not follow his word and not follow his teachings and his path and his plan, because his teachings trump everything. Jesus' word and his ways trump what you thought you believed. It trumps what you prefer in life, what you like. It touches your preferences and prejudices. And I mean, like, you know, like one minister said, I have a prejudice against people who munch apples. Well, it's not the fact that eating an apple is bad. He doesn't like the sound of somebody munching apples. But that's a prejudice. That's something that can keep you from following Jesus. You see what I'm saying? Well, I don't like cold weather. I don't like hot weather. And I can't go and serve the Lord when it's cold. Or I can't go and serve the Lord when it's too late. I can't get up early because I need my beauty rest. You see all these things? These are prejudices that you've got to get over. But when you follow Jesus, you lay all those things aside. You cast those things off. And even if it's uncomfortable, even if it's good for you and you don't want to do it because you're not used to doing it, it's out of your comfort zone, following Jesus will bring you through all of that because you love him and you love the people that you're serving. Following Jesus is the way. My friend, my brother and sister, if you've never followed Jesus and you want to follow him, you can do so today. I want you to pray this prayer after me. And when you do, and you confess Jesus as the Lord of your life, you are making him your master. You are making him the commander of your life. And submitting yourself as a disciple, that's not an evil thing. That's not a laborious and a slavery kind of thing. You're doing this willingly. You're doing this gladly, and the Lord is accepting it. And he's not putting you in chains when you do. He's actually setting you free from your previous life. When you submit to him as master, you leave the old master who has you in chains. And Jesus sets you free, and you enjoy what it's like to live for God free and truly free. The Bible calls this liberty. Pray this prayer after me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth. Jesus is the Lord of my life. Jesus, I repent. I ask you, cleanse me. Wash me of my sin. Wash me of my past. I confess I am a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. From today forward, I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're a part of the family of God together. If you've confessed that for the first time, or if you came back to the Lord, congratulations, praise God. The angels in heaven are rejoicing over you. I want you to email us at connect@kim.faith so we can touch base with you, make sure you've got all your questions answered. And then also you can look around our website at kim.faith as well, see where we're going to be next in our schedule, get a hold of the different outreaches in the ministry. You'll be richly blessed. I guarantee it. The blessing of the Lord be on you, the favor of God surround you, and something good happen for you this week in Jesus' name. We'll see you in the next episode of the Foundational Truths for Life podcast.